If you ever bought a new car and you drove it off the lot and you brought it home, you were probably happy to have a car that was so shiny. Everything was new, the tires were new, the paint was new. Inside it smelled like a new car. And maybe you polished it, you brought it to the car wash. I was driving home the other night and saw a lady with her new car outside the car wash, just drying it down with a towel, protecting it and taking care of it. And she should, probably, because it's a big investment, a car. Well, it's not really an investment, it's an expense. It doesn't increase in value, it decreases. But we went out yesterday to eat, Marianne and I, and there was a guy sitting there at the bench. Marianne asked him if he would like to go next, and he said, "Oh no, I'm just waiting." And I said to him, "It must be cold riding a motorcycle this time of year. I mean, it was raining yesterday." And he had his helmet next to him on the bench. And he said, "Well, I'm waiting for an interview. This is my second time attempting to come, because the first time I got hit with my brand new car by a drunk driver who was uninsured. An uninsured driver." So he was riding his motorcycle in the rain in the winter and made it there to get a job. So apparently he doesn't have a job, or he wants a second job. But life, yeah, so much for his nice shiny new car. Life has disappointments like that. Life has real difficulties. Sometimes we're jobless. Sometimes we're houseless. Some people get cancer. Some people have marriage problems raising their children. All these things can wear you out and make you tired, make you think that you just want to give up. The title of the message today is Having Hope When All Seems Hopeless. Having hope when all seems hopeless. Well, how can we have hope when everything around us seems to be crumbling? We lost our job. I have a health problem, relationship problems. Everything seems to be going wrong. How can I have hope? Because we need hope as believers. We need true hope. The world has a hope, but it's a false hope. It's not a true hope. And when I say hope, I don't mean like, oh, will you go to the store later? I hope so. I don't mean that kind of hope. A true hope is a hope of expectation, hoping with expectation, having an expectation of something good to come in the future. And of course, as believers, we have all of eternity to look forward to. If nothing else in this world, we at least have that hope, that expectation, that assurance that all the woes of this life will someday be over, and we'll have all of eternity to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we have hope in this life, though? I mean, God doesn't want us to walk around sulking all of our lives. There are moments, there are times when things aren't going so well. And there are examples in the Bible of people who have had downcast souls. But how can we have hope in this world when all seems hopeless? The first way we can have hope in God is by knowing his dream for your life, knowing what God's dream is for your life. Joseph was a man who had a dream. Actually, he had two dreams, didn't he? And we read, I'm not going to read all his story of Joseph because it's lengthy. And I read it. I highly recommend that you read the story of Joseph if you haven't done it for a while. I know we've all probably read it before, but maybe it's been a while. And I was brought to tears reading it, especially when he revealed himself to his brothers. But Joseph had a dream. Verse 5 in chapter 37. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. See, Joseph was one of, I think, 13 children. All his brothers had different mothers. You know, different groups had different mothers. So there was a lot of animosity, and Joseph was the youngest. And yet he had this dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Because Joseph was the favorite son of his father, who was it, Isaac? Jacob? Jacob was his father. And Isaac was his father. Remember, Isaac was the one that Abraham almost sacrificed on the altar. Isaac had Jacob. And Jacob had Joseph. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Then he had a second dream. Verse 9, he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother, the sun and the moon, and thy brethren, the stars, indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, and his father observed the saying. So here Joseph had a dream. And we're talking about having hope, right? And we can hope in God by knowing his dream for our lives. Well, Joseph had a dream. This dream came from God. This was not his own dream. It was a dream that came from God. Here he was, 17 years old, the youngest child. And he's telling his brothers, all his older brothers, "You guys," and his father and his mother, "you guys are going to bow down to me someday." He doesn't exactly know how that's going to happen. It's just a general idea that God gave him this dream and all these people are going to bow down to him. He doesn't understand why this is going to happen. He's hated for it. Because he's already the favored child of his father. Remember his father in verse 3. It says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And as when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto them." His brothers couldn't even speak peaceably to him. They hated him. And then when he told them this dream, they hated him even more. So, throughout the story of Joseph and all the events that happened after this verse that we just read. Joseph had his radar on. He didn't know exactly what God meant or how these things would transpire, but somewhere in the back of his mind, he kept this dream and always had his radar on for how God might bring this to pass. These dreams that he had were not his dreams. They were God's dreams. They came from God. Is the question I'd like to ask this morning is this. Is the dream that you have for your life God's dream, or is it your own dream? What dream are you living in? What dream world are you living in? Because we're all dreaming of something. We all have some idea in mind of what our lives will be like, what our lives should be like. Most people dream of a great marriage when they're young. You know, when you're young, you have all these aspirations. You want to have a wonderful husband or wife. You want to have a good career. You want to have a comfortable house that's well furnished. You want your children to be in obedience. You want to go on vacations. You want to save for retirement. And then maybe you want to retire someday and enjoy your grandchildren. These are not bad things. And many of these are what God would be pleased with in our lives. But sometimes life doesn't work out perfectly like that. Sometimes we're thrown curveballs. Sometimes our dreams are thrown off course. Maybe your spouse dies. Maybe you get cancer. Maybe you have marriage problems. Maybe you lose your job and you lose your retirement, and things don't go according to the way you thought your dream was going. Life has disappointments. And sometimes we can get bitter about that because we think that it should be differently. Sometimes we realize that what we thought our dreams were, or what our dreams were, sometimes we think that we got slighted from those dreams. We got conned somehow. Something unfair. Maybe we get bitter about it. Maybe we get angry. Maybe we get sullen about it. We're not in a happy place when disappointments come and our dreams are thwarted. And when we're not happy, you know, that's God's grace working in us, telling us that something is wrong. When you get a pain on your hand or you stub your toe, it hurts. And God has built in that alarm system of hurt to alarm you that something is not right. And if you feel hurt about something in your life, some dream gone awry, God is talking to you. He's telling you, don't just forget this. I'm giving you this pain for a reason. Wake up. This is an alarm. It's time to get up and address the situation. We should never be okay with suffering. Suffering is part of this fallen world. We weren't originally meant to suffer the way we do now. And God doesn't want us to suffer, although he knows that sometimes we need to cause us to grow and mature. The question really is, if we're disappointed with the way life has gone, we must ask, whose dream have we been living? Are we ready to accept God's dream for our lives? Or are we kicking against it? See, God's given us each different paths. He's put different people in our lives. He's caused us to have different experiences. We're not all the same. We're not immune to the disappointments of life. And neither was Joseph. Talk about somebody who had disappointments in his life. Here he was, the most favored child. And yet, look what was done to him. And that gets me to my second point. Hope in God. How do we hope in God? Hope in God by trusting in him through your nightmares. When you have nightmares in your life going on, that's when you don't say, God, I'm mad at you. God, I'm upset at you. God, this isn't right. You say, God, I'm trusting you through this nightmare. And we Americans don't know the nightmares that many people around the world endure. We're blessed, we're protected. But Joseph suffered some. In verse 18 of chapter 37, Joseph's father sent him to go and get his brothers. And in verse 18, it says, and when they saw him, when his brothers saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Talk about a nightmare. You're going out to your brothers, and they plan to kill you, your own family. But they didn't kill him. Verse 28, they just sold him into slavery. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt as a slave. Okay, so talk about suffering. His brothers wanted to kill him, but one of his brothers, Reuben, pleaded with them to not kill him, but so they sold him to be a slave. And he became a slave in Potiphar's house, and he was very successful because God was with him. And then his master's wife, remember, falsely accused him of mischief in chapter 39. Look at verse 5. Chapter 39, verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, He was handsome and well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. So he was alone with her in the house. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out." A total lie. She falsely accused him. A nightmare. First, his brothers want to kill him. Then they sell him to be a slave. Then his master's wife falsely accuses him. And then he's put in prison. Verse 20. "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. And he was there from age 17. Well, this whole thing transpired from the age of 17 until the age of 30. What's that? 13 years of suffering, of disappointment, of nightmares. There were some good times, but it was a nightmare. Trust him through your nightmares. How did Joseph trust God through his nightmares? Well, he looked for evidence of God's presence. He was prosperous in Potiphar's house. God prospered him. His master saw that the Lord was with him. And everything that he touched turned into gold. He was very successful. And that must have made Joseph think, you know what? God is with me. Now I say, every time I touch something, it seems to fall apart. Marianne, when she does something like her little craft business, it just booms. But if I get involved, it's over, it seems. I think my dad has similar experiences. Invested on all this real estate and it all went south. I guess we really weren't meant to rake in the money. But Joseph was. Maybe you're not meant to rake in the money either. Or maybe God has blessed you in other ways. I don't know. But Joseph was prosperous, and the Bible continually says that the Lord was with him. And he made right decisions, didn't he? He chose not to lie with his master's wife. And I also want to point out that at every turn in the corner, Joseph brings glory to God. In the midst of all the nightmares that he's going through, he looks for the gleaming spot of brightness, and he gives that to God. He he makes it known that God has allowed this to happen. Look at chapter 40, verse 8. These are the dreams of, okay, he was in prison, right? And the baker and the butler were there in the prison. The Pharaoh had placed them there. And these two guys had dreams while they were in prison. And Joseph came along and said, "Hey, why are you looking so sad?" And they said, "Well, we had some dreams. We both had dreams this last night, but we don't know what they mean." So Joseph said, "Oh, I can tell you what they mean." Joseph said unto him, "Do not interpretations," in verse 8, "belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Do not interpretations belong to God? God is the author of the interpretation of Joseph's dreams. Before he even heard what the dreams were, Joseph knew that God would interpret them. It wasn't him, himself, but God. And then in chapter 41, look at verse 16. This is when who was it that was restored? The butler? The butler was restored. And the baker was, his head was chopped off. And Joseph interpreted that dream. And the butler was let back into his position under the Pharaoh. And then the Pharaoh had a dream. And nobody could interpret the dream for Pharaoh. And then the butler said, "You know what? I remember a guy when I was in prison who could interpret the dream." So they call Joseph from the prison. And in verse 16, it says, "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace.'" And then Pharaoh tells him his dream. Again, God is the author. And then in chapter 45, verse 5, this is when, after Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, it clicks. You know what? This is why I've had all this suffering. This is why I've gone through this nightmare. "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, my brothers, that ye sold me hither. For God did not send me before you to preserve. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." He gives God the glory. When you have a nightmare that you go through, look for ways to give God the glory. Also look for evidence of his presence. The Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to his purpose. It does not say all things are good. It says all things work together for good. Even the nightmares of life, God works them together for good, as he did in Joseph's life. Not exactly smooth sailing for Joseph. Going through periods of his life, not knowing if he would live, not knowing when he'd ever be a free man again, being falsely accused and just knowing that, no, I don't deserve this, God. I didn't commit this crime. I didn't do this. This is unjust. All things work together for good. So, because of that promise from God, that all things work together for good, we can rest in an expectation of good to come out of this. Now, when you're going through a difficult time, it's hard to see that this is going to end in a good way. But it is, because God says it. You see, only Christians can have true hope. Jesus is our hope, the Bible says. And we can only rest in God's word. We cannot rest in our feelings when we're going through a nightmare, because our feelings are unreliable. But we can rest in the promises of his word. Psalm 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. In his word do I hope. And then thirdly, how to have hope when all seems hopeless. Hope in God by asking what he wants to accomplish. Asking what he wants to accomplish. Here was Joseph, the ruler of Egypt. All the power and authority was given to Joseph. The only one above Joseph in the land of Egypt was the Pharaoh himself. Here, God had taken him from bondage to the highest position in the land of Egypt. And he wasn't even an Egyptian. But there he was, disseminating the food, because, you know, the Pharaoh's dream was that there would be 7 years of famine, and then, no, 7 years of bounty and 7 years of famine. And they were in this period of famine now, and people in other countries were starving to death and coming down to Egypt, because they heard that there was food in Egypt, because Joseph interpreted the Pharaoh's dream, and the Pharaoh put him in charge, and he gathered all the harvests and put them in barns and prepared for 7 years of famine. This was something that God gave to Joseph to do. And his brothers walk in into his presence. And lo and behold, in chapter 42, verse 6, it says, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. There's the dream that God had given him becomes real, becomes reality. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. So he didn't want them to know yet who he was. And he spoke Egyptian, so he had an interpreter. Brothers did not expect that to be their little brother Joseph. But he finally saw the reason why all these calamities had come upon him: to preserve their lives and to preserve a posterity, so the nation of Israel could someday exist. So the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, could come. See, Joseph didn't see all this at first. So when we're going through this life, the good times, the nightmares, we should ask God, what is it, God, that you're trying to accomplish? Ask that often. What is God trying to tell me here? He doesn't tell you everything at first. You know, we go through stages in our lives and we mature, hopefully. We become wiser. We learn from our mistakes. But in the midst, even though we don't see the big picture yet, every step of the way is important, as it was for Joseph. Joseph kept doing right. He kept being honest. He kept giving God the glory. He kept caring for other people. He asked them in prison why they were sad. He was always willing to interpret the dreams, because he knew God would be the interpreter. He's always willing to help. So even though we might not see what God is trying to accomplish in our lives, we don't see the big picture. It's important for us every step of the way to be like Joseph. So that poor guy without a car, uninsured driver, don't know what God's trying to accomplish there. But my hope and prayer is that maybe it was a wake-up call for him, maybe to help him see that he can't have his confidence in things in this world, maybe to help him see that he narrowly escaped death, maybe helps him to see that, helps him to question the meaning of his life, why he was spared. Who knows? And when you face uncertainties in your lives, you don't know what God's trying to accomplish, but ask him. Keep asking. And I think it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. He gives you one piece, and you fit it in place, and he gives you another piece, and you find that place. And eventually you begin to see the image appear. Begin to see the big picture. And it didn't take all that long for Joseph to come to that conclusion. Sometimes God just throws an event his brothers walk in. And the light goes off. Oh, this is it. This is why I've gone through all this misery, to save my brothers. So sometimes it takes an event like that to bring it all together. And other times we can piece it together. We're talking about having hope when all seems hopeless. Knowing God's dream and living it, not your dream. Trusting Him through your nightmares and asking Him what He wants to accomplish. Let's pray.